This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We continue talking about the experiences of the late Calvin Parker from a time he was quite young to the time he was a lot older. Tim, we're about to continue.
Yeah, this goes to Brent and you know, Martin, you know, you can chime in on this as well if you like. But from what he told me, he definitely felt that this woman was a distinct entity from the robotic types of creatures that initially abducted them. Because, you know, he had said that he never got any kind of impression from the clawed types of creatures. But the woman, he definitely felt that she was a living entity.
Okay, yeah. I know that when I met Charles Hickson a year later in Jacksonville Beach, where he was doing a talk, and we went out to lunch afterwards, and he felt that those beings were robots of something like that. That was his sense of it. And Calvin was, you know, pushed back on us. He really didn't. He told me that he would be somewhere. He'd get a job. He tried to put it all behind him. He didn't even read the book that Charles Hickson, another author, wrote, The UFO Contact at Pascagoula. If he'd be at a job and someone said, "Hey, aren't you Calvin Parker, the guy abducted by aliens?" He said he would just leave and go to another job. But finally, his wife had convinced him that he should, you know, tell his story while he still could. I know he told me that he'd had, at the time I interviewed him, he'd had two heart attacks and a stroke. And there were a lot of people who were wanting to know what he had to say about it. And then he was contacted by Philip Mantle of the Flying Saucer Disc over in England, who wanted to publish his story. And so I think the timing on that was just right, he felt, and he went ahead. And I think there's been about three books now, isn't it, that Philip Mantle has been involved with in covering the story and letting Calvin tell his side of it.
And Martin, what about you? I mean, what about your impressions about what Calvin was saying, the differences between the woman and then the other creatures, things, whatever you want to call them on the ship?
Yes, he said much the same to me. Calvin did. He said that the grayish, wrinkled, claw-handed things that hauled him into the craft, he said that they seemed to have a very precise thing to do, that they, you know, that there was no personality to them. They just had a job and they did it. But this female, he definitely said that he sensed a personality with her, and there was something alive about her eyes. Even though he described her face as being a mask, something artificial, he gave me the sense that that he was actually much more afraid of her than he was the real scary looking ones. You know, there was that she was a powerful presence there in the craft. It reminded me a little bit of when he was talking to me about this, of the female creature that Whitley Strieber, you know, describes a lot in his communion books. And not so much the physical appearance, but their reaction to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just that almost overwhelming type of presence about her, it, however you want to describe her. You know, one of the other aspects about this case is how unique the robotic creatures are compared to other abduction or even just, you know, like close encounter cases. I mean, I can't think of really any other case, and you guys can correct me on this. I can't think of any other case of similar looking beings.
Yeah, other than the one that Max Edwards told me about, that they had kind of filed away for about 10 years until the Pascagoula thing happened, and said that that case there that they had of the young boy seemed remarkably similar to, you know, what happened in Pascagoula. So they just kept that on file, these Canadian investigators, and didn't say anything anymore until this incident happened.
Mm-hmm. I tend to always give it a little bit more credibility because they're so different than what was usually described. You think if you were making this up, you know, let's just describe them like everybody else has been doing, even though the modern conception of the Greys was not really quite the the pop culture icon that they've become back then yet. Well, you know, most people who actually were describing such things, especially in other countries, the beings were very human-like for the most part. It's not until Betty and Barney Hill described what they had to deal with that this other kind of archetype seemed to take hold. So I've always kind of felt that, you know, just the mere fact that these creatures was so bizarre. I mean, you know, why? I don't know. Just like, why would someone make that up? You know, especially the part about them having no eyes, which is in other cases, the eyes seem to be a big factor and that people are always impressed with and talk about being affected by. But these creatures had no eyes, or robots or whatever they were.
When I hear all these descriptions, I sometimes wonder here if they're taking, number one, a cultural bias, but number two, whether the minds of the percipient are being manipulated to see certain images. Mm-hmm. Anyone can take this.
Yeah, well, like you say with this case, and especially this type of being, that the first initial thought is that it's a very unique type of being compared to, like you said, the other cases with Greys and people being abducted, and that they're more like the minions that take them on board and do all these procedures on them. I think this was pretty much the same thing, but they were very unusual looking, as we say, very threatening. If you saw them first, or, you know, it put the fear of God into both Calvin and Charlie. And when they'd taken on board, they were there doing a job, and that's what his impression came across, is that they were robot-like in the way they were doing the tasks of getting the people on board ready for the female ET to obviously take over.
Martin, what's your perception?
I think there's some, for me, and I don't, you know, I don't know, but I feel that there's something to that, actually. I have a feeling that whatever this kind of experience is, comes as much from us as it does from somewhere else. The creatures, the way that Calvin described them, I've always been struck by the fact that the way he described them, they seem almost amorphous. They're it's like they're not quite finished.
We have something to finish right now. And we have Martin, Jason, Brent, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Martin Powell, referring to the Pastor Gula case, something about the beings were unfinished. Like a creation process or creative process had more work left to do?
Right. I mean, that's just my own perception of it. But it's always struck me that way, that they, especially when you see them accurately depicted the way Jason has. They're really bizarre. I mean, these don't look like guys in suits or anything. You know, they're very strange, very, very strange. And it's not, to me, it doesn't seem to evoke something technological, if that makes any sense. It's more like something like a waking nightmare would be. And I'm not saying that he was hallucinating. I'm not saying that at all. But the fact of the matter is, we really don't know what any of this means. Nobody does. Anybody who claims to is selling something. You know, it's truly bizarre. It might be beyond our understanding, at least right now. But that's the feeling I always had when I first heard about this. Gosh, when I was in my teens, I think, first heard about this case. And of course, back then, the story that I was familiar with didn't involve the female creature, which kind of changes the whole aspect of it.
1973 was an interesting year for UFOs, and especially around the same time as the Pascagoula incident. There seemed to be, you know, like an explosion of really interesting sightings and cases, especially, what would it be, like, you know, September, October, you know, into November of that year.
Yeah, just the day prior to the Pascagoula incident, there was police officers who were investigating in the New Orleans area, a report of a silver-colored hamburger-type-looking craft, and one of the officers recorded the sound, kind of a humming sound at the time. And then 2 weeks after the Pascagoula case, there was some people on the Pascagoula River who reported some sort of object under the water. And they called the Coast Guard, and they came to investigate and apparently witnessed it also. And the people took oars and struck the kind of like a submarine or something, and it was it remained submerged and disappeared eventually from their view. And I soon was intrigued by the fact, you know, the Pascagoula River has a legend. I talked with Calvin Parker about this in my interview. There's a story that the Pascagoulas were an Indian tribe there, and there was a story, but they call it the Singing River, and that there was a woman in the river who was like a spirit and would sing to them. And there was, according to the story, there was a missionary who tried to convert him to the Christian faith, and this woman on the one full moon sang this her song, and it sort of hypnotized the tribe, and they all went into the water and drowned. And more local to us, down in Florence, Alabama area, there was I met a Tom Hendricks, who was a Paiute Indian, and his great great grandmother Tilane was a healer, and when she was born, they placed her umbilical cord into the river, also called the Singing River, and there was a woman who would sing beautiful songs to the tribe. The women, she would be, but with her umbilical cord in the placed in the river, she would be a sister to this spirit woman in the river. And during the Indian removal back around 1830s, I think it was 1832, she was taken out to Oklahoma along with her sister, and she claimed that the rivers out there held no songs. So on foot, she returned back to Alabama, and Tom told me he talked to a Natchez Indian woman who told the story about a woman who would sing in the Pascagoula River, and she came up out of the Great Salty Lake, which was, you know, the ocean down there, and was so delighted that she was in fresh water that she would sing songs. And people today supposedly still hear some kind of unusual noises. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting to look at those two things, the Tennessee River and the Pascagoula River was similar stories. Don't know what to make of it, but, you know. Some places hold certain energies, and there are certain legends, and who knows.
Well, I also remember that, and Gene, you have to correct me if I'm wrong on this, we had Irina Scott on the show talking about her research into the whole Pascagoula case, and she uncovered other sightings and experiences that were happening the same night, night before, night after. One of them was of like a young couple who saw, as they reported, a glowing scuba diver coming out of the river. So, I mean, it's the what was going on? I mean, with Calvin and Charles, it wasn't just happening in a vacuum. They weren't the only ones who were having bizarre experiences.
Well, that, of course, takes away the possibility that was all just something that individually happened to them. Because they were part of something, and maybe they participated more directly. But sometimes you wonder here how many stories are untold in Pascagoula, not just seeing things with maybe others, met up with entities or beings, but never bothered to explain it to anyone.
Yeah, I think that story that Tim just mentioned, that came out, you know, some years later. I think the couple had seen Calvin on a local TV program and decided at that point to contact him and share the story. And then it, well, I guess maybe, I'm not sure they contacted him first. They might have contacted someone else, but he eventually got to meet him and shared, you know, stories with him.
We'll get into more of this in our next segment. The thing I worry about on something like this, when someone else comes up with a similar story, is it something that happened to them, or are they just trying to cash in, quote unquote, in an event and get a little bit of attention towards themselves? You have to wonder about that. We've got Tim and Martin and Jason and Brent, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Justice Samuel Alito is rejecting Senate Democrats' demand for his recusal from an upcoming Supreme Court case, deeming it invalid. The request stemmed from his interview with a lawyer who was involved in the case. Alito stated unequivocally that there is no valid reason for him to recuse himself. More than 1,000 lives have been lost and hundreds are injured in the aftermath of an earthquake that rocked Morocco.
There's reports that buildings in Marrakesh's old city have been destroyed, and one family was trapped in the rubble of a collapsed collapsed house.
This is the strongest earthquake to hit the North African country in over 100 years. Phoenix could set yet another summer heat record if it reaches 110 degrees or more, as expected Saturday. That would mark 54 days this year. The previous record was set in 2020. Maricopa County public health officials say there have been 194 heat-associated deaths this year. John Schaefer, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
This is James Fox, director of The Phenomenon and Moment of Contact. You're listening to The Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So having dropped that out there, whether it will hit with a lead balloon or what, Brent, what do you think? Do you think some people merely decide to kind of get in on the act?
Well, you do have to always look pro and con on these things. There were so many reports that were coming out, and some of the press, I think, over-exaggerated because they made a good story. Like when I got to New Orleans, I'd seen a front-page headline about a woman that gave her name and I think her address. So I walked over to her house. I did a lot of hiking and knocked on her door. She was home, a housewife. And you know, the newspaper, the way it was written up, woman seeing light moving around the sky. Well, she admitted there was a cloud cover and it was a light up around the clouds going around and around and around and around. I figured, okay, that sounds like there was some sort of event. Maybe a car, car salesman, car sales, or maybe there was a premiere of some movie or something, and someone had a searchlight that was just revolving around and around. So that didn't seem to be too much of anything. On the other hand, you had, you know, and then while I was down there, I stopped at we were going up towards Jackson, Mississippi after meeting, being in Pascagoula, and I stopped in at a police station and asked them if they had any UFO reports. And said, yeah, some truck driver said he'd seen a flying saucer land on the highway. I said, okay, can I, you know, see a copy of the report? We didn't write anything down. So it was just one witness. Didn't see any sense in it, you know. So there were lots of stories floating around. And some of them, you know, like the police officers the night before, you know, Calvin and Hickson's experience, Charles Hickson's experience, actually seeing this flying silvery hamburger type thing in the sky and recording the sound from it. And the object there in the Pascagoula River and lots and lots of other sightings that were being reported at the time, you know, you have to read all through it. You know, everybody knows a lot of the reports are mistaken aircraft or occasionally hoaxes, but there is that, there certainly were a lot of interesting stories that were floating around, and I know that, you know, Dr. Hynek was on the scene soon afterwards. Calvin told me that he told them that he said if you know you're making this up, you guys should be in Hollywood or something. You know, that it was he was quite impressed. A lot of people have been impressed by the account and all that activity. There's no denying that there's some pretty interesting, kind of compelling type stories, but always have to watch for those that aren't really what they, you know, the press has made out to be, or people aren't properly handling, like the state trooper I talked to. Seems like they would have placed some sort of report and written something down.
I remember that not too long after the case came out, there was doubt shed on whether or not the experience was a hoax or not, based on the aspect that I think it was the and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, that the nearby bridge or maybe it was a Coast Guard station supposedly had security cameras looking out over the river and the area where the men were fishing, and that, as it was put, nothing showed up on the cameras. Now, this was 1973. What kind of cameras, security cameras, would be available at that time that were able to take, you know, like decent videos at night like that? So, and anybody can jump in on this and comment.
I remember that happening, you know, being reported and questioned, but. And I remember Alan Greenfield going down there and looking into that too. And I don't think he felt it was really a valid argument against it. Anyway.
Well, Alan Greenfield has, he's still around, and we're always happy to have him on the show. I've known him for 1,000 years. He's always had a unique viewpoint with regard to UFOs.
Yeah, he's very interested in all of the paranormal elements that seem to be a part of many of the cases.
Martin, I wanted to ask you here, because we talk about your comic book background and your fiction background. When did you first become interested in UFOs?
Oh, my. Well, when I was 9 years old, I was visiting my cousins on their farm. This was about 30 miles or so out of Louisville, Kentucky, near Fort Knox. And I need to stress that it was pretty close to Fort Knox. It was a Sunday afternoon, around probably 2 or 3 o'clock. Clear day, and me and several of my cousins were out kind of playing in the backyard there. About 50 or 60 yards away was a tree line, some pretty dense woods at the time. They're not there anymore. And there was this thing just floating over the trees. It looked like a classic, you know, Hollywood flying saucer. In fact, at the time, what it reminded me of the most was the Jupiter 2 from Lost in Space. It was an unpolished pewter kind of color with a small dome on the top. I didn't see any portholes or anything like that, although one of my cousins said he did. So we looked at it for a while, and it was just, like I say, it was just hanging there in the air. It would move back over the trees to the point where we couldn't see it anymore. And then a few minutes later, it would come back. It looked like maybe it was about, you know, I was a kid. This was, you know, 9 years old. This was a long time ago. So I don't know how accurate this is at all, but it looked like to me it was probably 60, maybe 70 feet off the ground, based on what the trees probably were like at that time. And so we were quite excited about it. I remember one of my cousins started to cry. I never felt threatened by it or anything like that. It was just kind of an amazing thing, you know. And we tried going in the house to get the grown-ups to come out and look too, and nobody would come out. They wouldn't even look out the window. They were in there playing cards. So I came back out on the back porch and looked at it again. It wasn't doing anything terribly exciting. It was just hanging there. And then it sneaked back over the trees again, and that was it. We didn't see it again. I didn't find out until some years later that whole area was actually a pretty strange place, according to what some other cousins and their neighbors told me later on. The only other odd thing that I remember happening there was occasionally at night you could look in the woods and there were lights moving around in the woods. We took this to be hunters in the woods as I was a kid. But the lights were odd. They were colored lights, like green and orange. They looked bigger than would come from a flashlight. But I didn't really think much of it either at the time. I just kind of thought, oh, well, like they're saying they're hunters. I guess that's what they are, you know. So, but that interested me very much in the phenomenon, which at the time I didn't know there was a phenomenon. I didn't know such a thing existed.
We're going to talk about this existence. Martin, Jason, Brent, Gene, Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need. You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Tracy Torme, screenwriter, producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So Martin Powell's telling us how he first got interested, intrigued in UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
As you were writing all this fiction stuff, did you quietly pursue your interest?
Yes. Yes, I've never given up interest in it. In fact, once I was out of college, I did my own bit of field work in it. It was nothing at all like what Brent's accomplished over the decades, but I very quietly looked into things that I heard that was happening around. It kept me interested. I think what really drew me in was after my own sighting, I found a paperback book that my brother had in his room that was Flying Saucer Serious Business, which seems to be the book that brings a lot of people to this. And I read it through, and I was pretty much hooked from then on. I don't know what it is. You know, a lot of people who know of my interest in such things, they want a ready-made explanation, especially these days when a lot of the stigma of this is kind of calmed down, and people are more apt to talk about it if something happens to them, I think. Seems to be the case, but I don't know. I don't know what this is. I do think the phenomenon is real. I think that at times it's at least physical some of the time. I haven't a clue.
I know I've heard a lot of people talk about childhood experiences seeing UFOs and talk about the same thing, how they tried to get nearby adults to come out and see what they're seeing, and they're just completely ignored. Mm-hmm. And they're just so frustrated, you know, by this lack of interest. You're not the only one who has said this very same story.
No doubt. And
I know that, you know, if any of my kids and their friends would come in and say the same thing to me, I'd be out there in an instant trying to see what they had seen. how many people have missed out on seeing something extraordinary because they just don't listen to their kids?
Yeah, or look up from their phones.
Yeah. Well, or their cards, as in your case.
Right. I should mention, too, that one of my uncles was a deputy sheriff of that area at the time. So, you know, I don't know why that makes me seem that he should have been interested in this, but, you know, it was something unusual. And like I said, one of my cousins was bawling her eyes out. And I don't remember exactly how long the whole thing lasted, but I would think that would be probably 15, 20 minutes. That might be a little long. I don't know. But it seemed like it was there for quite a while. You know, and of course, back in those days, nobody had cameras. or at least did carry cameras around them at the, in a spur of the moment like that. I don't know if I would have thought about it even if there had been a camera in our car. But it was a startling thing. I mean, it's the impact of it increased as I got older and learned more. And like I said, I mentioned that it happened not too far from Fort Knox, and I mentioned that only because, you know, maybe it was something that the Army base there was doing or whatever. Didn't look like that to me. I still remember it very clearly in my head. And I've talked to other cousins of my cousins who were there at the time, and, you know, some of them remember it and some of them don't, or at least they don't want to talk about it. Mm. The ones who do remember it describe things very much like me. I let them describe it first just to see how it matches. And it's, except for the one that mentioned the portholes. I don't remember portholes.
Jason, what about you? Now, I know from previous times that you've been on this show of your interest in the phenomenon, the work that you've done with photographs and Photoshop, but what got you started being interested in the phenomenon? Is it the same thing as Martin? Did you have an early experience?
Yeah, definitely. It was, again, when I was young, seven years old, and I've got an older sister. She was 8. We were both playing in my grandparents' house when we were up to that age, oblivious to UFOs and everything, not interested in the subject at all. Was in the mid-70s in Liverpool, in the UK. And basically, we both saw a silver disc-shaped craft hovering outside of the bedroom window. I didn't see it first. My sister saw it and then got my attention. And we looked at this object, very shiny, you know, your typical sports model type of craft, as you say, hovering outside the window. And then it took off at high velocity, and we just carried on playing as if nothing had happened. And unusual to think about that now, back at the time. And I actually forgot about the incident until many, many years later, when my sister actually said to me, do you remember when we saw that craft outside the window at our grandparents? And then it started to slowly come back. But that really got me interested after that, and I'd start reading the Arthur C. Clarke books, the unexplained books at the time. You would have to go to a library at the time to get your books to read up on the subject, and then Star Wars and films like that started to come out, and it took off even more. And then much, much later, when I was in the Air Force, I was on the base at RAF Cosford here in the UK, which is central England-ish, and it was in March of 1993, and a huge black triangle came down over the base. It was described at the time to be the size of a battleship. It was seen by many military personnel on the base, and a friend of mine was the orderly corporal in the guard room. I was on the base that night, and it took off at high velocity and went on to another RAF base. And all this information is out there because when the UK government released the UFO files a few years back now, all the reports were in there that the police wrote at the time. So it's all there and everyone can go and look this up. You know, so really that was where I snowballed into ufology, and everything seemed to just lead on to the next thing.
Well, we'll continue this with Brent. Now, you know, Brent, we've all known you for a number of years. But what about you? I mean, what got you interested in the phenomenon?
Well, like Martin, Flying Saucers, Serious Business by Frank Edwards, and I'd also seen him on the Art Linkletter show, and of course, March 1966, there were all the sightings out in Michigan. I guess that was swamp gas, And we had sightings in my home state then of Maine. We had a gentleman, John King, up in Bangor, who that month said that he had fired 4 bullets at a craft that was about a foot off the ground, metallic-looking craft with a dome. and he heard at least two pings, so he hit it at least twice, supposedly, and he reported it to the Bangor police, who reported in the papers that he was seemed really disturbed by the experience he had. And that intrigued me, and I remember my father and I would, you know, kind of do a little sky watching. Never did see anything, but I was kind of interested, but not enough to really get involved. But then later in the year, I read Frank Edwards' book, and by January of 1967, I started clipping stuff out of newspapers and began, you know, picking up magazines, and soon started corresponding and reading other books, and I became a ufologist. I think that Gene Duplantier up in Canada, the used to edit that magazine, Saucer Space and Science, I think he was the one that came up with that term, ufologist. Don't have to have a degree or anything, just you're a ufologist. You're addicted.
Now, he was very interesting because he was an artist, and he drew a lot of interesting pictures over his lifetime.
Yeah, he would illustrate his magazine. It was a good magazine. I always enjoyed reading it. And there was quite a bit of good stories that he would put in it.
Do you know if anyone has put any of that material online?
I think maybe they have. This Isaac, I think K-O-I.
Isaac Coy, yes.
Yeah, he's put a lot of different publications online. Now,
definitely, by the way, he put my magazine, Can't Be at mTOR, online, so all the issues are available. The URL is impossible to describe, unfortunately, but there you go. Brent, Gene, Tim, Martin, Jason, I'm running out of names. You're in the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you love reading about the mysteries of the universe? Do you wonder what secrets are hidden in the shadows of our own planet? If so, you won't want to miss these two amazing books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll explore the world of the mimics of man, beings that can look like us but are not. They've been among us since the beginning of history, hiding in plain sight, influencing our culture in ways we can scarcely imagine. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll discover the so-called hard evidence of UFOs that's been available for study this entire time, but for the most part has been ignored. These two books will open your eyes to a hidden reality that has been right in front of our eyes all along. That's Mimics, The Others Among Us, and Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. Available now on Amazon.com.
Hey, Jimmy, turn off the video games. Let's go play some ball.
I'm in the middle of my game. Can't we go later?
Come on, it'll be fun. It will be there when you get back.
Okay, but there's no way you're going to win.
Why don't you grab some water and granola bars, and then we'll see about that.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
I need help with my taxes. Where can I find free tax help?
If you make $54,000 a year or less, you can participate in the IRS Volunteer Income Tax Assistance, VITA, or the Tax Counseling for the Elderly, TCE, programs. IRS-certified volunteers provide free basic tax prep for low to moderate income taxpayers. The TCE program is specifically for taxpayers age 60 and older. Go to IRS.gov and enter free tax prep in the search box to find a VITA or TCE site near you.